Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse number 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? May God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray this evening. Father, I come before you, and Lord, I just ask your help tonight. Lord, what we're going to be talking about, I have in no way, I have not the mastery of. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me be better at this. And Lord, help but just be a challenge to people tonight. Lord, I'm nobody, but Lord, I pray that above all, you'd be honored tonight, you'd be glorified, and just help it to be a challenge to maybe one person here and here tonight. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd have free reign. Pray that you'd have free reign in my heart. Use my lips, Lord, and just help me to glorify you. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Be with our pastor tonight. Just help him as he preaches. Just strengthen him and give him the power he needs, Lord. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Flip over, if you would, to Romans chapter 7. Tonight I'm going to talk about this subject, good servant, bad master. Good servant, bad master. You know, there's a lot of things in life that are good servants, but they're bad masters. And I really want you to get that thought in your mind tonight about there is everything, honestly, in life could be a good servant, but it also can be a bad master. And if you really think about that, and I think you'll grasp, I like visuals, okay? Everybody should know that. This was actually already up here, so I just used it. But we have water, okay? Now, water, I better sit over here. Water is a good servant. Most of you like running water in your house. I don't know of anybody here that does not have running water in your house. And water, running water in your house is great unless it's running all over the floor. Right? At that point, it becomes, if your house floods, at that point, water went from being a good servant to being a bad master. Okay? It did. I like turning the faucet on, but when I have a water main break, that's not a pretty sight. And it very quickly goes from being a good servant to a bad master. The opposite of water is fire. Okay? And this is I carry one of these in my truck all the time. This is my whatever tool. If you can't get it with a wrench, you can heat it and it surely will come off one way or the other. But you have the two extremes here. And it's interesting if you look at God's word, you know, God destroyed, how did God destroy the earth the first time? With a flood. How did he say he's going to destroy it the second time? With fire. Those two things. With a flood and then with fire. Both these things could be considered good servants or bad masters. It depends on if they're controlled. Okay? If they're controlled. If you can control the water, water is an excellent servant. It's amazing. I've seen amazing things. I've seen guys cut tires. You know, if you've ever tried to cut a tire, you know how hard tires are to cut. They've cut tires with high-pressured water. You can do amazing things with water as long as it's controlled. A water out of control is devastating. Fire. Everybody today used fire. Whether you believe it or not, you'd use fire coming here, except for maybe Brother Tom. Do you use electric, maybe? I don't know. But Mrs. English may use her electric car. But even if you use electric, that electricity at some point came from fire, unless it was a nuclear power plant that provided you electricity. Most of it came from probably Merom area. So regardless, it came from fire. Your electricity, the light's on right now, you don't see it, but it is being controlled. It's being a good servant, so we are able to use it. It is a harnessed power. So that could be true about anything. Your cooking that you did, whether it was electric or it was gas, there again, electric could have gone back to fire. Your car that you drove in here tonight had fire inside of it. It was a internal combustion engine, but it was in a controlled environment. Someone talked tonight about good servant or bad master. You know the Hoover Dam? The power of the water behind the Hoover Dam powers 1.3 million homes. So a controlled substance is able to produce power, okay? It's pretty amazing. Water is your friend in your house until you have a water line burst or your water heater rust out and, you know, leaks water all over your floor. And then you have a big repair bill, okay? And at that point, your water goes from being a good servant to a bad master. Good servant to a bad master. You know, water is an amazing substance. We live on the water planet. God gave us water for a reason. Every drink that you drink, if you really get down to it, has water in it someplace. Whether it's pop, which is really not good for you, it's got water in it, okay? It has excellent temperature retention. I've done some studying on this because of various reasons, but excellent temperature retention, better than oil, better than many other man-made products. It has better temperature retention. It's fluid. It's a fluid. It flows. It forms to the container in which it is, okay? And we could preach a whole message just on water. But, you know, it's fluid, and you can pour it out. But, you know, I've heard this, and I don't know if it's true. Have everybody ever seen those speedboats that go, like, crazy insane miles per hour? They say if you're going over 40 miles per hour and you hit water, it's like hitting concrete. It doesn't give. It doesn't give like that. So that's pretty amazing. A cubic yard of water, 3 foot by 3 foot by 3 foot, 1,700 pounds, a cubic yard of water. It's pretty amazing. If you put that in the context, think about if there was no water in the oceans. All that weight holding things together, think about that. What would happen to the seismic plates? They'd come apart. Because God created the water to hold things together. It's pretty amazing. I love water. But I love water as a servant. I love water as a servant. Because anytime water becomes the master, it's not a good thing. In 1931, a flood in China. It's interesting that the top three floods, as far as casualties, have all been in China. And they haven't fixed any of their problems. It goes to show you what communism does for a nation. But in 1881, let's start with the oldest one. 1881, the Yellow River flooded, killed between 900,000 and 2 million people. Because it ceased to become, they used it for irrigation, they used it for their crops, but at some point it ceased to become a servant and became the master. In 1931, the China flood, which was a little bit larger, estimated between 2.5 and 3.7 million casualties because it ceased to become a servant and became the master. 1938, once again, the Yellow River flooded, 500,000 to 800,000 casualties. Ceased to become the servant and became the master. In 2004, we all remember this one, most of us. 2004 was a tsunami that hit Japan. They estimated there's 200, number I came up with was 227,800 some casualties. It's pretty amazing. Something that many people took their livelihood from also took their life. Because at some point, it ceased to become the servant and became the master. If I'm in a John boat, okay, fishing away, the water is my servant. I'm floating across the water. But when I look in the back of the John boat and I've got a foot of water in the back of the John boat, I'm slowly transitioning from servant to master, okay? If the water fills the boat, it's no longer my servant. It is becoming my master, okay? And I want you to think about that. Fire. I love fire. I think if you're a guy, you ought to love fire, okay? Cooking, heating, electricity, automobiles all require fire to exist. I love fire probably even more than I love water. To me, it's not a question of will it burn. It's a question of how to make it burn the coolest way. Because anything really will burn, okay? It's just how to make it burn really neat, all right? Everybody in here has got your own fire story, okay? And I've got fire stories. I got lots of fire stories. Most of them cannot be told in the presence of my wife or my mother, all right? Not a good thing. I've caught myself on fire, you know. Everybody in here, you've probably burnt your eyelashes off or your eyebrows, and, you know, it's from some great experiment that you thought you was going to do, and, yeah, that worked real well. Fire is a great thing. In a survival situation, fire and water are your two most important things. I can start fire. I could go down to the cleaning closet. Let me think here. Probably. Well, between the cleaning closet and the paint room, I could mix chemicals together and start a fire, a hot fire, like an all-consuming hot fire. Chemicals, you can mix, and that's besides the point too, but fire. I love fire. But in 1845, there was a fire in Pittsburgh. How'd the fire start? As somebody trying to use it as a servant, but it became a master. They were trying to heat some bath water, and it got out of control. Destroyed 1,000 businesses. A third of the city wiped out in 1845. October 8th, 1871, this one everybody knows about, Chicago fire. Destroyed 17,500 buildings. Left 100,000 people homeless. There was up to 300 dead. I don't know why they gave this statistics, but demolished 73 miles of road, 120 miles of sidewalk. Cost $222 million in damage in 1871. That means about $4 billion today. How'd it happen? Well, there's a couple different theories. O'Leary's Cow, everywhere, one dark night when we were all in bed. You know that song? O'Leary's Cow, they had a theory that Mrs. O'Leary was out milking her cow, and the cow kicked over a lantern, and it caused a fire. Another theory is that actually that there were guys gambling in O'Leary's barn, and they knocked over a lantern, and it caused the fire. Either way, I mean, it started something very simple, something that should have been a good servant, but it quickly became a very bad master. 1918, the Cloquet Fire in Minnesota. This was caused by simply sparks from a railroad. Sparks from a railroad. Caused 453 people to die. 52,000 people were displaced or injured. 250,000 acres were burned. 38 communities destroyed. $73 million in damage, or $1.148 billion in today's dollar figures, because something that was supposed to be a servant became the master. As we can see, there are things in life that make wonderful servants, but when left unchecked and uncontrolled, make terrible masters. In our passage we see the struggle in the life of the Apostle Paul to be balanced in his life, to put the things of life in the proper position as either as a servant or as a master. If you are, I think I told you to go to Romans chapter 7, look at verse number 6. Romans chapter number 7, verse number 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law sin was dead, for I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Listen to this. This struggle, this is amazing in the life of Apostle Paul, because I can relate to it. As a Christian, I can relate to this. The Bible says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is not good, that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not, for the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You know what Paul's saying here? He's like, I'm trying to keep the things that are supposed to be servants, I'm trying to keep them as a servant. But the things that are supposed to be servants always want to keep coming up and make themselves master in my life. And that's what Paul's saying here. The things that I'm not supposed to do, that's what I do. And the things that I'm supposed to be doing, I'm not doing them. Why? Because there's a constant battle to keep the things that are supposed to be servants as servants. I got three things tonight about being a good servant or a bad master. First thing is we need to look at what is a servant and what is a master. So I basically wrote this down, and I think it pretty much sums it up. Number one, a master controls, a servant is controlled. Very simple, okay? A master controls, a servant is controlled. Does that make sense? Okay? So if a master, obviously he does what? Controls. A servant is controlled. Very good. Excellent. Sorry, I forget this is not children's church sometimes. I don't get reaction like from children's church. But anyway. So a master controls, a servant is controlled. Number two, above all, now listen to this, because this is the defining thing about this whole message, I think. Above all, Christ is master. Amen. Above all, Christ is master. Okay? Now, once we get later into what we're talking about tonight, you're going to see that everything basically has to fall under Christ as master. If you're living the Christian life, it must fall under Christ as master. And I'll show you that. Matthew chapter 23. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23. And let me just say this about Jesus Christ. If you allow him to be master in your life, I've not been alive real long. I'm only 28. I've screwed up a bunch of my life. Times, years when I was a teenager, I didn't serve God the way I should have. Years as a young adult, I haven't served God the way I should have. But I found that when I have served God and I have done what God wants me to do, God's been a real good master to me. He's been a good master. Okay? I just want to encourage you with that. But above all, Christ should be master. Matthew chapter 23, verse number 8. Matthew 23, 8. But be not ye called rabbi. What does it say? For one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. One is your master, even Christ. Everything in life should come second to Christ. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Matthew chapter 6, flip over there. Matthew chapter 6. Very familiar verse, verse 24. Matthew 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Why can't you serve God and mammon? Because one is your master. You cannot serve God and mammon. So if you serve mammon, mammon then becomes your master. Mammon then becomes your master if you serve mammon. But if you serve God, then what becomes your servant? Mammon. See the corollary? If you serve God, mammon's your servant. If you serve mammon, people want, and this happens in Christian, and we're going to get to it, Christianity, we try to make God our servant. But who, Bible, does the Bible say, is your servant? For one is your master, for one is your master, even Christ. So a master controls, a servant is controlled. A master controls, a servant is controlled. Above all, Christ should be mastered. Above all, Christ should be mastered. Now, the third one, I've kind of taken a thing from somebody else. But everybody's heard the statement, a right thing at the wrong time is sin. A right thing at the wrong time is sin. Okay? Most sin is a right thing done at the wrong time. Okay? That's what it is. If you think about sin, most sin is a right thing done at the wrong time. Stealing. Well, how can that be with stealing? Well, maybe God wanted you to have that, but you're trying to get it before God wants to give it to you. So you go and steal it. Or God has a way. God doesn't, you know, why would somebody steal? Well, I just needed that. Has God ever let one of his children go without something they need? No. So then you either didn't need it, or you wanted it before God had it ready for you. So everything. Let me say this. A right thing in the wrong position, I'm talking about master or servant, a right thing in the wrong position is sin. Because one is your master, even Christ. So a right thing, something that's good, something that's fantastic, but in the wrong position is sin. The right thing in a wrong position is sin. I got a list of things, okay? And we're just going to go through them quick. You know, friends are a great thing. I love having friends. I got good friends. I always say I have more acquaintances than friends. I have a lot of people I'm friendly with, but I don't consider a whole lot of people friends, okay? I don't know. Maybe I hold the word friend too high of a value, but I don't. I have a lot of acquaintances, but not many friends. But friends are a great thing. Friends are something that you can enjoy. But when your friends take the place of master instead of servant, they then become a stumbling block. They then become a sin. What do you mean, Brother Chad? Okay, for instance, if you're doing something that your friends want you to do, and it trumps what God wants you to do, then you're taking your friend from the position of servant to the position of master of your life, and it is then a sin. We see it every week in the bus ministry. If you're in the bus ministry, you see it every week. Well, I'm going to go spend the night at a friend's house. Are friends bad? No. Is that necessarily a bad friend? Not necessarily. But they're taking that friend from position of servant to master. And a master does what? Controls. A servant is controlled. Okay? So, friends, they can be great. But if I base everything I do on what my friends want me to do, they are taking from the position of servant to master. Let me say this. Family. Oh, Brother Chad, you're preaching. I'm not preaching against family. If you want to bash me on this, we're going to go to the Bible here in just a second. You can bash Jesus Christ a little about this. Say, Brother Chad, I thought family comes first. No, it doesn't. For one is your master, even Christ. Well, if my family, we're doing this family thing and we got this family activity and we're not going to be able to, I can't serve God. I can't go visiting because of this family activity. For one is your master, even Christ, and you've just taken your family from servant position to master position. And it becomes from a good servant to a bad master. Anytime your family, you know what Jesus said? If you will not deny your mother, your father, your brother, and your sister, you know what he's saying? I want Jesus Christ to be master. And if you're not going to deny, he's not saying you put him out in the street. I'm not talking about that. Hey, I'm a big family guy. I think family's important. But when your family takes you away from God, you have transitioned them from a good servant to a bad master. And remember all the destruction that happens? I did all the illustrations at the beginning because I hope in the back of your mind you have the thought of when it becomes taken from its proper position as a servant to its position as a master, fire destroys, water destroys. Hey, listen, friends destroy. Family destroys. It does. When it's taken out of its proper position. Okay, I'm not saying it destroys. Brother Chad, you're talking, preaching. No, I'm not. I'm saying when it's taken out of its proper position, family will destroy. And I've seen it. You've seen it. Hey, why is it? Let me just ask you this. What's the last reason that you had that you couldn't go soul winning? What's the last reason? Think in your mind. The last reason when soul winning time came up that you could not go soul winning. Whatever that thing that came to your mind was, you took that from a servant to a master. I'm not saying you have to go soul winning every single time, but why is, I don't know, I, I'm I go to several of the soul winning things and I know pretty much who shows up. Now, you can not like me for this or whatever, but why is there so many opportunities to go soul winning and nobody's there? Because there's servants that are becoming masters and they're controlling our lives. Is it family? I don't know. You have to, I'm not picking at you. You have to make those decisions. Family, friends, fun. I love having fun. All right. Most people think I'm really boring. Okay. I just find humor in different things in life. Okay. I do. I think a lot of things are funny, but most of it's at the expense of either myself or other people. So we just try not to, you know, laugh as much about it. I really do like having fun. But you know, if fun is what I live for, if my next desire is to have fun, then fun is controlling my life and is becoming a good servant. Hey, you know, I think God wants us to go have fun. All right? Now, I believe in recreation. I don't believe in entertainment. Or I don't believe in amusement. You know what amusement means? It means not to think. It means you go do something and don't think about it. All right? Recreation means you recreate. You're doing something. You're producing something. You're building something. My favorite way to have fun, and this is, I'm weird about this, I love to work. All right? I love to work. To me, that's enjoyment. I'd rather go, we worked 13 hours yesterday digging ditches in whatever it was, 90-degree weather. Okay? To me, I had a blast. I thought it was great. But that's my definition of fun. And I'm going to hammer me here in just a minute, okay? So hold on, don't get too mad at me. I'm going to hit me too, all right? But if you take fun and put it in elevation from servant to master, I love deer hunting. I do. But you know the guys that run the deer hunting shows on television? They've taken something that should be used as a servant and they've made it a master in their life. I guarantee you they don't go, if the weather's right, they don't go to church Sunday morning. Most of them never darken the door of a church. Every once in a while, you'll see one that prays after he shoots something. Oh, what about all these people on Sunday that you see pulling boats around? What are they doing? They're taking something. Hey, God. When God chose his disciples, what did he choose? Four fishermen? I think God's for fishing, okay? But not on the Lord's day. What did Jesus say when Peter said, I'm going to go a fishing? And I think Jesus, I wonder if Jesus walked around the shoreline. He's like, I wonder where these guys are. They're supposed to be with me. Where were they? Fishing. Because they took something that should have been a good servant and they made it a master. So fun. I like having fun. Funds. It just, the only reason I didn't say money was because I was using everything else that had an F in it. So funds. Until like the next point, and then, sorry, this is besides the point. Next point is something different anyway, so I don't know why I did it. But funds. Everyone must have money in which to live and survive. All of us, myself included, have more than what we really need. I'm going to say this, that most American Christians, this is the one thing that we have elevated from the position of servant to the position of master. Yeah. American Christians have taken funds, their money, the almighty dollar, and have elevated it from the position of servant to the position of master. Yeah. But what does the Bible say? For one is your master, even Christ. I don't know what to say. I think if you want to know the truth, that's all I said, and you're going to get the truth there. Okay, why can't you come to one of the visitation times? Why can't you go help with the project down in Princeton? Well, I got to work. I understand. I got to work too, and that's my problem. I work too much, but I got to work. I got to make money. But at what point have we taken that from being a servant, say, well, this is, I just got to work. I got to work. Okay? Well, you've taken it from servant to master. We've made something that God has made for us to have as a servant, the master of our life. And we're allowing the master to control us instead of us controlling the servant. I love to work. My fun is work. But when I become in too much of a hurry to witness, then my work has become my master. Hey, folks, I'm guilty of this. I work too much. I do. I know it. I work between 80 and 90 hours a week. I do. I keep track of every single one of my hours. If you want to go home and look at my book, that's the hours I work, between 80 and 90 hours a week. And the Holy Spirit today, in my heart, said, what are you doing? Why are you working that much? God, you know, God gave that to you as a servant. Why are you making it a master? Why is that the predominating? Now, granted, I do work here at church. You know, I easily get 40 hours plus every week. There again, if any of you have a question about it, I write down every hour I work and what I do during the day. Because to me, my integrity is above all. I don't want anybody to ever have a question about what I work. But what, you know, what is that? You've got a lot of stuff to do here on the property, but God's, the Great Commission did not tell me that I have to, you know, paint the gym wall. Did it? And if Christ is my master, I need to do what Christ wants me to do. Now, if it's painting the gym wall, by golly, I'll paint the gym wall. Okay? If it's cleaning up a tree out here, I'll clean a tree up. I enjoy that. To me, I love to do that. Although I did flip my tractor over the other day. Yeah, don't do that. It's kind of scary. It makes your heart go pitter-patter a little bit. I did, right out here. Flipped my tractor over. You know what? I mean, God took care of me. I didn't get hurt. And I could have. You go and you start reading news stories about people that flip tractors over. Most of them do not end up good. God, honestly, you can ask Brother Val. Brother Val was there. It was a miracle of God. But hey, I love to work. But when my work becomes master in my life, I need to reevaluate some things. When I don't have time to go make some extra visits for my bus kids, I, Chad Gordon, needs to evaluate some things. So I'm not asking you to do something that I don't need to do. Okay? I don't want to ever do that. This is a philosophy. This is not just a Wednesday night service. This is a philosophy of life. Everything in life is given to me so that I can use it as a servant. Oh, back to the funds thing. Do you remember this? I did not write the reference down. I apologize. I'll just tell you that. Remember the man that came to Jesus and he said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Remember that story? What did he say? He came to Jesus and he said what? Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus rattled off a list of commandments. And he said, I have done these from my youth up. And then Jesus said, who was the master? He said, go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And what did the Bible say? The young man went away very sorrowful because he was very rich. You know all Jesus was asking him to do? He's basically asking this young man, you're calling me master, but who's really the master? Who is the master? And with that decision, that young man told Jesus who the master was. No, my money is my master. That's all Jesus was asking him to do. He was just asking him to make the money the servant and make Jesus the master. But he didn't do it. He went away very sorrowful. Everything in life is given to me so that I can use it as a servant. You know what, folks? I love my wife. I want to serve my wife. But when my service to my wife takes the place of God, my service to my wife has since lost its servitude and has then become my master. Every area of life. Every area of life. Okay? I have a choice on who to serve. The proper place for everything in life is as a servant, not the master. For we have one master, even Christ. These are kind of funny. I thought about some other stuff. You know, food. You ever think about that? Food is a good servant, but a bad master. And for like 80% of Americans, I'm being dead serious. I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's dead serious. They have taken food, and they've changed it from a servant to a master. It is. I mean, and you can tell. I mean, seriously, it's like, wow. You know, you go to Subway, the Eat Fresh place, and you're like, you know, they're ordering 2 footlongs. I'm like, why are you ordering 2 footlongs, you know, a large Coke? That does not make sense. Anyway, but food, hey, food is a good servant. I love to eat. I can eat a lot of food, believe it or not, okay? But if I make food my master, you know, some people, I work in rental houses. We should just leave it at that, okay? I work in rental houses. And some of the people, and if you live in a rental house, I'm sure yours is really nice and, you know, everything like that. But you know what? You go in some of these places and there is food everywhere. But you know what? People have made food their master. They're controlled by it. My son, Micah, has made food his master. I mean, he's always hungry. He's constantly. He's like, he's a bottomless pit. He'll eat like 3 or 4 hot dogs. I mean, seriously, I'm like, oh, we're going to have to get more cows. That's what we got to do. Pigs, something. Food is a good servant, but a bad master. Hey, your body's a good servant, but it's a bad master. You know what a bodybuilder is? Somebody that's went from having their body as a servant to a master. Now listen, I think you ought to take good care of your body. And I've preached a message about taking good care of your body, okay? But when you're more worried about your body than you are other things, then you've taken the position of servant and made it master. I'm not a big fan of the Olympics. I'm just going to go out there, throw that out there. If you love the Olympics, God bless you. I mean, I root for Team USA all the way. Although half of our team didn't really start in the USA, so I'm not real sure how all that works, but we'll just leave that alone. But Team USA. But what bothers me is you've got a group of people who have lived for one moment in life. And if they fail at that moment, what else have they done with their life in the previous however long? Nothing. They have to constantly work at being an Olympian. You know what the Olympics came from? Ancient Greek, which was a pagan nation. That's where they came from. Okay? Now, I'm not preaching against the Olympics necessarily. Although, I'm not getting there. Why in the world a Christian would say, I'm going to watch the Olympics and then watch, you know, the swimming, the dive team, some of the gymnastics, all the gymnastics. Okay, I'm just throwing this out there. Why are you doing that? Would you let those people come into your house dressed like that? Would you? In a Speedo? No, thank you. What are you doing? If I saw somebody walking down my road dressed like that, I would run them over and bury them. I'm serious. So why do you turn the TV on? Let him in your house. Anyway, good servant, bad master. Hey, young ladies, you're beautiful. But when the beauty takes place of what God wants you to be, you've taken that from being a servant to a master. Gotta be careful about that. Guys, we don't have to worry about it as much. We would never get to mastery anyway. So, but hey, guys, you know, I went back to the bodybuilder thing. You can be completely concerned about how you look and everything like that, when that should be, you know, your strength should not be your crown. It should be a tool that's used. You don't get strong just to, you know, beef up. You get strong so you can dig ditches for me. That's why you get strong. That's exactly why. No, seriously. I don't. Yeah, I got physique. No, I don't. I'm 145 pounds, all right? Soaking wet with sweat, maybe 150. I'm not built, but any strength I have is as a tool. It's a servant, so I can serve the master. It's a servant for me. Sometimes I abuse the servant, but it is a servant. Hey, let me say this. You know, intimate relationships are a good servant, but a bad master. I'm not going to dwell on this. But intimate relationships are a good servant, but a bad master. Hey, guys, I want to just warn you about this. You need to be careful because many times, I call it the buck syndrome. The buck syndrome. When does every big buck almost year-round get killed? I'm serious. You can learn a lot from nature, folks. And I'm not being grotesque here. I'm not being... But what is? We go back to the book of Proverbs, and it talks about the strange woman. Yea, many mighty men have been slain by her. I'm going to get it wrong. Many strong men have fallen. The biggest bucks every year are killed in a week and a half stretch, 2 week stretch. Because all sense, guys, seriously, I'm helping you here if you'll listen. All sense goes out. You want something. Your flesh wants something. And God gave you that desire. God gave that to you. But when it becomes master instead of the servant, great destruction happens. And he has to have what his flesh desires in a young lady. And so many times, guys, and I just want to warn you, I've seen that he usually gets just what he wants. How many times in the past 8 years, I've heard this statement, he just had to have her. He just had to have her. And then the statement later, well, he got her. He got her. And he had to pay the consequences. Because she quickly became his master. She quickly became his master. Young ladies, if you have to dress a certain way or in a sensual way or act in a sensual way to get the attention of a young man, let me just throw this out there. He's not the right one for you. He's not. Because you're making something that should be a servant, you're making it master, and you're making that master in his life also. Hey, feelings. You know, God gave us all emotions, God gave us all feelings. But when you're controlled by your feelings, and when you're controlled by your emotions, you're taking something that God gave you to be a good servant, and you're making that master. And what happens anytime we take something that should be a good servant to a master? Destruction. So don't be careful. Hey, he gave you the desire. He gave you the desire to have security, to have a partner in life. And I really didn't think about this until I was typing it. Listen, that's why God made Eve for Adam. That's why God made Eve for Adam. Now listen to this. Think about this. But God planted every tree in the garden to be a servant to Adam and Eve. When Eve took the fruit and went from it being a servant to the master, sin happened. And then what did Adam do? I think Adam knew it was wrong. I think Adam knew he shouldn't have done it. But I also think that Adam loved his wife so much that he took that position and went from servant to master. Two different things, back to back. Went from servant to master. And we see the consequences. We still pay the consequences. They both chose to make something master that should have remained a servant. Eve the fruit, Adam his wife. Brother Chad, do you have everything in the right position? Do you have everything in your life as servant? No. I don't. And you could get up here and get a mile-long list of things that I don't have right in my life, that I really probably don't have balanced in the right way. I'm not up here asking you, but you know what? Down in my office this afternoon, you know what I asked God? I said, God, help me to be more balanced, be better at making the things that you've given me to be a servant in my life, keeping them as a servant, and not letting them get out of control.
Because anything, whether it's an element or something that God's given us, if it's controlled, it can be an amazing force. Water can be an amazing force. You have to have it to live. You have to have it to survive. But when water becomes master, it takes away the life that it's supposed to supply. When any of these things becomes master, God never intended us to live that way. God intended us to have one master, even Christ. So when anything, we take it from being a servant to a master, what happens? Some way, somehow, something is destroyed. Regardless. Bible says in the last verse that we read, for the wages of sin, we're talking about servants here, for the wages of sin is death. I've heard it said and I believe it. Every time you sin, something dies. Could be potential, could be what God wanted for you in your life. Could be a missed opportunity. But as a servant, every time you serve sin, the wages of sin, every time you serve sin, those wages of sin is death. Something's destroyed. Something's wiped out. I don't want anybody to come across, this is what God wanted me to preach. I don't want anybody to think that I'm any different than anybody sitting here. Because, I struggle with this. Like I said, what's your big thing, Brother Chad? I just probably work too much. I'm just too busy sometimes. But I think if you would examine your life, now maybe you're a perfect Christian. Please shake my hand afterwards. I just want to know what it feels like. Being sarcastic. But I think in something in all of our lives, we've taken from the position of servant to the position of master. But remember what Christ said, for one is your master, even Christ. Now look at the life of the Apostle Paul. And I don't know what Paul struggled with. We don't really have record of specifically what he struggled with. Not that I know of. He seemed like a pretty happy Christian. But obviously there was something in Paul's life. He said, the things that I would, I don't do, and the things that I do, I shouldn't do. So I think in every Christian there's going to be that. So I want just more than anything, take this week, and when the opportunity comes to serve God, those are the telling times. When the opportunity comes to be in church, those are the telling times. You may not think of it right off the bat. Well, I can't think of anything, Brother Chad. That's fine. May not be able to. But when the opportunity comes, when you get a phone call and it's pastor, and you're like, oh, stink, what does he want? Brother Chad, we don't do that. Yes, you do. I know you do. Instead of it being that, be like, okay, before you pick up the phone, whatever pastor needs, I'm going to do my very best to clear my schedule. I'm not saying it's for pastor. I'm saying it's for God. Okay? It's not for, pastor's a man. He's like the rest of us. But if God laid it on his heart to ask you to do something or to ask me to do something, I'd sure hate to take what talents. You know the other thing I was singing the other day? And we'll be done, I promise. You're out early anyway, fairly early. I would hate to take the things that God has given me to serve and not serve the way I should, and those things be taken away from me. God's given me a wonderful family. But if I would elevate those of my family to the position of master instead of servant, God may take my family. So I have once again a new master. God's blessed my hands. I'm not proud. My dad's taught me so much. Men in this church have taught me so much. I can do a lot with my hands. why don't you go get a job that you can make more money? Because I can. I had 2 job offers this past week. Good pay jobs. $40, $50 an hour jobs. Because I'm afraid that if I take these that God gave me to serve him, he would take these from me, or these from me. It's not worth it. Besides that, I'm pretty happy where I'm at. God's blessed me. So who's the master? Who's the servant? And who's the master? Who's the servant? Who's the master? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, you are a good master to us. Whether we believe it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, God, you've been awful gracious to us. You've been awful gracious to me. God, you give me a good family. You've given me a good church family. You've given me good friends. You've made me enjoy life. You've given me a beautiful wife. Lord, you've given me so much. Lord, I don't want to take the things that should be the servants in my life and make them a master. Lord, you've provided my needs for me. You've provided the money that I need. God, help me to not take those things and get it out of balance, get it out of whack. And Lord, I pray that you just help me to serve you better, help me to be better for you. And Lord, I pray that this is just a blessing to folks tonight. It's probably something they just got to kind of take and mull over and think about. But Lord, I pray that you just be honored in everything that was said. And Lord, help us go this week. Lord, help us to serve you. And help us to make you our master. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name.